I hope that title intrigues you a little. Just take a quick look at it, because we're going to flip straight to the verse that we're going to look at from 1 Corinthians 2. We, Paul writing to Christians, says we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. We receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may understand God things, what God has freely given us. So just bear with me for a minute to just give the background here, and then I'll tell you what we're about today, tonight. So in chapter 2, Paul is speaking about the way God deals with people. And that is the wisdom of God. The wise way that God deals with us. The way he does things. And he's saying to the church, no one understands what God does unless they have God's Spirit. So, in verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood what God was doing. Because if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He says, but we have God's Spirit. We have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand the way God does things, even if other people don't. The understanding of the world is according to what is the spirit of the world. What Paul calls the spirit of the world. It's everywhere. The spirit of the world. I hope you know what the spirit of the world is. I hope you can see it at work all the time. I hope you can discern it and understand human thinking, worldly thinking. But only the spirit of God enables us to get a different kind of thinking that is the true way of thinking about things, the way of thinking about things as God thinks about things, the way of thinking about what God has freely given us, especially what the things are that God has freely given us, and also the fact that he has given them freely. That's what we have to try and work on tonight, I think, and try and understand. So the more we are filled with the Spirit of God, the more and better able we are to understand the giving of God and the gifts of God. That's what verse 12 is saying. The more of the Spirit of the world we have, the less we'll understand the way God does things, what his giving is. Verse 14, the man without the Spirit of God, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, understand this, and there are two types of people in the world. There are people who only have the Spirit of the world, and therefore they can only think according to the Spirit of the world, and they cannot understand the thoughts of God, they can't understand the gospel, they can't understand the way God does things. It is hidden from their eyes. And then there are people who have the Spirit of God, and the more of the Spirit of God they have, and the more they make use of the privilege of having the Spirit of God, the more they understand. They understand that God does things differently. So let's think about this. Let's start to think, first of all, what is the spirit of the world? And I want to think about it in this way. And I want to think about the challenge that, you know, I thought, giving this illustration I'm about to give about petrol money, I thought maybe, you know, it was a kind of old-fashioned illustration, but when I was visiting someone this week, they were talking about giving petrol money to someone for a lift that they'd given. So here it is. I remember very clearly on several occasions as a teenager, after my father had gone off the scene, my mother didn't drive, so public transport wasn't too bad in Alness, but there were times when we needed to get somewhere for something at a time that public transport didn't serve, and either someone would be alert to that and would offer a lift, or my mum would have to ask for a lift from a friend, and we'd get that lift to go somewhere. Whatever it was, you know, whether it was you know, to get to Dingwall to catch a train to Gairloch or whatever it was. And at the end of the journey, there would always be a tense moment when my mum tried to pay for the petrol, for the lift. And it was a delicate moment. I remember it. Because if you didn't play it very well, you could offend someone, the driver, the person to offer the lift. So sometimes the money would be left on the dashboard. My mum would just leave it and get out of the car quickly. And then the person would just have to take it. Or sometimes it would be pressed firmly back into my mother's hand. And it just never felt quite right, but we've probably all been in that situation. I suppose these days, most people have cars, but actually public transport isn't great around here. Certainly for shorter journeys, you may need to get a lift from time to time from someone else. And you may know what I'm talking about very keenly, just like the person who was visiting this week did. And sometimes you might thought, well, you know, was it just like a token gesture? Like my mother really knew that the friend that was given the lift did not want money. But my mum felt that she should kind of offer it just as a kind of gesture, knowing that she wouldn't actually get to give it. Or was it at other times perhaps born out of her deep need to retain some pride in the situation, because her situation was quite humiliating in that her man, who had the car, was gone and she was left very dependent in some situations on other people. Pride. So, success in leaving the money with the driver might leave my mum feeling better, but it might leave the driver feeling that their generous offer had somehow been devalued. And maybe their character as a generous person had been questioned. Failure to leave the money, it had been pressed back into her hand, failure to leave the money might leave the driver feeling good, but it might leave my mum feeling an uneasy sense of debt and ongoing obligation. So this is a situation that we all recognise. And in terms of this verse, which spirit are we talking about here? Are we talking about the Spirit of God, or are we talking about the spirit of the world? We are, of course, talking about the spirit of the world. And the spirit of the world is so deeply rooted in us that that kind of obligation, if I get something, a favour, I've got to pay for it, is so deeply rooted that it makes it very difficult for us to understand God and his way of doing things. It makes it very difficult for us to understand the free offer of salvation in Jesus Christ, that it is a free offer. And what I want to think about tonight and help you and me to realize even for the first time, is that if we try to pay God for his gifts to us, we are in danger of stopping a relationship with God ever happening, or spoiling a relationship with God. If you try to give God petrol money, it's not going to be good for your relationship with God. It's so natural for you to do so, to try and deserve, to try and earn, to try and pay. And for that reason, every one of us has to deal with this legalism in our hearts, that we feel that we've got to pay in some way, we've got to thank the Lord for all that he has done in such a way that we kind of pay him back. We've got to do some good things that make God somehow obligated to give us a lift. That's legalism. That's the spirit of the world. And it is a great problem. It is probably one of the greatest barriers to people considering Jesus, because the perception of the world out there, if you like, the spirit of the world, maybe the spirit of the world in here too, if it's in us, the perception is that the church is a place where you're trying to get God on your side by earning, by being good enough. And it is not. And if it ever seems to be that, the church is dysfunctional. It's lost the gospel. It's toxic. Use that word people bandy about a lot. If the church ever seems to be a place where I have to try and get myself into God's good books, we've lost it. We've lost it. The Spirit of God, on the other hand, shows us something very different. When God gives us a lift, talking about, obviously not in a car, but when God gives us a lift, and whatever it is, some gift, some freely given blessing into our lives, we must never try to pay. The Spirit of God teaches us that. Because that's to question God's character. That's trying to judge God as though he was like us. As though he was like the person that gave us a lift somewhere. And we felt we had to leave a tenner on the dashboard. That they did so for us. But to do that with God is profoundly wrong. And the Holy Spirit teaches us that. And we need that revelation. Verse 10 speaks about revelation. God has revealed it to us. You know, what God has prepared. This is the gifts of God. The things that the gospel gives to us. That revelation is given by the Spirit of God. And we need a revelation. So, we probably all know what it is to be blind to the things of the gospel and of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to uncover our understanding, our eyes of understanding, so that we see the free gift of God in Jesus Christ. And that is what I want to dwell on. And I encourage myself. I haven't had much time this week, but it's been bugging me because I wanted just to sit and dwell on this word freely in this verse. And it's a great word. It's a word that has the kind of meaning of grace in it, of God giving us lots for nothing. And to try and see that, because everything in my spirit resists it. Everything in the human spirit, in the spirit of the world, resists freely being given eternal life and every blessing that we have. It's a challenge. Maybe you know that now. Maybe you're right now you're resisting it. Maybe you're resisting God right now. Maybe you're even resisting the gospel, Jesus, right now, because of your pride, because you want to pay. You have paid your way through life. You have never been in debt. Or if you have, you made good conscience of clearing it. You have paid your bills, your taxes, your obligations. And you have done more than that. You have tried to extend generosity to others. And now God comes to you and says, that is what you're like with the spirit of the world. But coming to me, it's free. And you are going to have to swallow your pride. And you're going to have to accept that it's different. And you're going to have to try and see that that's a good thing. Because were you ever to try to pay God? I mean, can you imagine leaving a tenner at the foot of the cross? Can you imagine trying to leave a quantity of good works at the foot of the cross that would mean that Jesus somehow, because of what you left at the cross, felt obliged to die for you, felt that you were such an amazing person that he had to do that for you? If you were such that person, he wouldn't need to die for you. You'd be perfect. But you're not perfect. You can't leave anything at the foot of the cross that pays for what Jesus did for you on the cross. It's free. The Spirit of God teaches us freeness, the freedom of the gifts of God. We need to watch cynicism in this because, I know we're all very careful about scamming these days. Very careful. I mean, I was just out for a wee walk yesterday. I got a one-word message. Hello. That's all it said. From an unrecognised number. What would you do with that? I blocked the number straight away. It was from Olivia, by the way. I mean, that was probably some guy somewhere who wants my money. I blocked it. Because we're suspicious. We think people are trying to reel us in. You know, so we're like fish suspicious of the hoop. If fish can learn to be suspicious of hoops and baits and things, then we're like that. We think maybe God is going to give us some freebie, and then he's going to reel us in and really make us pay. But that's not God, and that's not the gospel. I mean, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walked a 33-year walk of incredible self-discipline in order to achieve complete and perfect righteousness in his thoughts and in his words and deeds, in order to offer himself as a payment and sacrifice for our sins. How would God then make that his way of somehow duping you and me into believing that it's all going to be free when actually he's really going to make us pay? That's an insult and an offence to the character and integrity of God. We cannot pay. The Spirit teaches us that. The Spirit teaches we must not try to pay. The Spirit teaches that God is bigger. I mean, it's not like God has reached the end of the week and realized that his housekeeping is a bit short because he gave us a lift. Is that how small God would be in our thinking? No, it must not be. The Spirit of God teaches the immensity of God and the abundance of God, the plentifulness and the bounty of God, out of which he freely gives. And that is what we seek to understand. And this brings us into relationship with him. The more we take hold of this freedom that we have to receive in Christ, the more we take hold of this generosity of God, of the character of God being a character of grace, of freely giving, then the better our relationship with God becomes. So what does God freely give? I've got a wee list here of a few things. And it's just a little list from some of the passages in Scripture. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. He gave his Son. What a gift. And Ephesians 1:5 speaks about being predestined to the adoption as children. This is a gift of God. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who love him? So that's Luke 11:13. Ephesians 4:32. Paul teaches us, bear with one another, be patient with one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ freely forgave you. It's a word. Freely forgave you. Romans 3:24. being justified freely by a gift of his grace. Philippians 3:21, God gives the resurrection of our bodies as a free gift. An inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. Think about these things. And the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the one that catches everything. He who did not spare his own son, which is at the beginning, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So he'll freely give us. If he gave us Jesus, well, what is more difficult to give? This is the whole point of why God called Abraham to give Isaac. There was nothing more costly to Abraham. He was an immensely wealthy man. You know, he had thousands of sheep and thousands of goats and thousands of cattle. But he only had one son, born to Sarah, that is. And God asked him to give that. And you see the drama, the human anguish that Abraham would have. He would have given all his cattle, but to be asked to give his son. And that was what God did for us. Of course, God did not ask Abraham in the end to do it, but rather to illustrate the cost of doing it for him, God. And having given his son, he who did not spare his own son, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Adoption, his Holy Spirit, forgiveness, justification, resurrection, inheritance, eternal life. So these are the things that God is willing to freely give. What is God going to charge you for? These are the free things. What's he going to charge you for? Now, if this is a big divine scam where, you know, there's some free gifts, but then you've got to pay, where Romans 8:32 says, he gives all things freely. So, what is he going to make you pay for? And this is what the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us that, I'm going to have to go forward again from this, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. And so as Christians, we look at ourselves and we need to spot those little moments where we're trying to leave a fiver on the seat as we get out, having received a lift from God. We try to leave a fiver. And, you know, doing that is showing a lack of a sense of relationship. And that's a troubling thing about that scenario, because it's like questioning the relationship you have. You know, if your friend says to you, look, I'll take you to the train station and, you know, it'll cost me a tenner for petrol. If you leave me a tenner, that'll be fine. Well, you know the deal. And you also maybe wonder about how good a friend they are, if that's how they put it. But if your friend says, I'll be delighted to give you a lift. You need a lift to the station? I'll give you a lift to the station. You don't leave money, because you're questioning your friend's genuineness in their offer. You're questioning the generosity of their character. So imagine you try to pay your friend. This is what your friend really wants to say to you. I'm your friend. Don't you know me by now? If I can afford to have a car and fill it with petrol, it is my delight and my privilege to help you. I'm not putting on any kind of airs of superiority. I'm not showing off my wealth. I just got a car and I can put petrol in it. And I just want you to believe that I see your need. I don't think any less of you for having that need. I'm able to help. And as your friend, there is nothing I would rather do than make things easier for you by giving you a lift. The furthest thing from my mind, I want you to know, is any hope that you might pay me for that. Please just believe my generosity and rejoice in it. Have you ever given someone a lift and they try to pay you money? I'll give you a copy of that for later so you can say it to them as they try to leave you money. Because you know you don't want the money. Because that is really to put a monetary value in your friendship. And it damages the relationship. It strains the relationship. So if tonight you have a sense of strained relationship with God, maybe here's one reason why. That you are in a contract with God and you're understanding. God gives you things, you've got to pay for them. You can't pay. I believe this is something that is very difficult for the church. It always has been. And it's very much because the spirit of the world gets into the church, gets into us as individual Christians. I believe it can cause people to fall away from Christianity. I've seen it. I'm sure I've seen it. This reason. The sense that people carry of perpetual obligation to God. And often it's the church they were brought up in. Because there are evangelical churches all over the place. That give you that impression. You've got to perform for God or you're not getting anything. So if you keep trying to pay God for things, you just grieve him. You just grieve the Spirit whom you have received, the verse says. And maybe probably because of that, you'll have a bit of a chip in your shoulder towards God because you keep thinking, well, you know, God keeps wanting me to pay. And, you know, you keep feeling this kind of guilt burden all the time, this debt, this sense of obligation towards God. You don't like it. You don't really like God. You've got a bad view of God's character. And so you've got your little nurturing sins over here. And so you're really going to grieve the Holy Spirit. You're going to lack a sense of relationship. You're going to lack revelation of the freeness of God's gift. Evangelical Christians, which we are, pride themselves in believing that salvation is a free gift. And that's the danger, of course. Pride. Whenever we're proud that we believe in the free offer of the gospel, watch out, because watch that you will find that we're not offering it freely after all. Because we're proud that we offer it freely, we won't be offering it freely. Anything like that, anything we're proud of, it becomes our weakness. Anything we think we're good at is the thing that we need to work at most of all. So, you know, think about this. Think about when you became a Christian, for example. Or even when you become a Christian, think about this. Look around you. Think about the situation you were in, or you are in. Are the people that you're among in the church happy just so long as you fit in? Are you among people who are preoccupied with being seen to be good Christians? Have you a sense of being judged for how well you're performing as a Christian? Are the people around you more concerned that you have the right views on things than they are to increase your delight in Jesus? Would they rather you just fit it in and thought the right way? You know, are the people around you people with Christianity that's black and white? And you need to learn what's black and you need to learn what's white. That's the spirit of the world. That's not the spirit of Jesus. That's about performance. It's about making sure that you keep paying You keep leaving your tenors on the dashboard every time God gives you a lift, every time God shows you a favor. We need to be different to that. It's not the way it is to be in the church. And we need therefore not to be trying to be worthy. We need to be free. We need to know that God gives freely, we need to receive freely, and we need to live offering what God has given to us to others freely. But if you are always trying to pay, and you're in a situation where people are watching to make sure you do, that's where Christians are falling away. Because the rest of the world is like that. The rest of the world is making sure you pay. But in the church, it's free to be a Christian. And that is what we need to know within ourselves and among ourselves. And people coming in need to observe among us as well. Remember then how you become a Christian. I have to go through all this quickly. There's a wee refresher. This is what God is willing to freely give. It's good to just dwell on this. His Son, adoption, His Spirit, forgiveness, justification, resurrection, inheritance, eternal life, all things. How did you become a Christian? Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. Remember Jesus in the Pharisee's house, the woman who washed his feet and so on. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of them both. And the question in the parable that Jesus tells there to Simon, whose house he's in, is which of them will love him more. But look at the highlighted words. So they're both in debt. This is how you become a Christian. You don't have the money to pay, so you're forgiven. You ever notice that in the Lord's Prayer? We pray the Lord's Prayer, we mutter the Lord's Prayer. And someday it becomes meaningful to us, hopefully. But in the Lord's Prayer, as possibly many of us have learned since we're to say since we're kids, we say, give us this day our daily bread. We don't just say please. And forgive us our debts. We're not saying even please to God there. And I try to pray the Lord's Prayer every day, and it strikes me often that. You know, sometimes I come to God and I'm feeling wretched, and I kind of feel like I'm a worm crawling out of a hole and trying to pray. And yet I'm saying to God, give me everything I need today and give me salvation. It's like stand and deliver. Maybe Jesus put it like that, just simply like, I want you to know it's free. I'm not even adding a please in there, because you might add 10 pleases, or if the church, you might kind of, you know, please, 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 please give me my daily bread. I'm not going to do that. You need to know it's free. The miracles of Jesus are an illustration of the freedom too. You ever noticed that, you know, it's great that, isn't it? No, they didn't have the money, so he forgave them. That doesn't work like that in the world, does it? He didn't have the money, so he sent round the bailiffs. That's the world. The gospel, they didn't have the money, so he forgave them. That's what we need to understand. And Jesus' miracles, think about the miracles. You know, there's tons of them described for us in the gospels. Did Jesus ever accept payment for his miracles? Did Jesus ever ask for payment for his miracles? In fact, Jesus had such a reputation for not accepting anything for anything he did for anyone that in the Gospels we're never told of anyone trying to even pay Jesus for the miracles that he did. Does that not strike you? Jesus was known as someone who freely gave the grace of God in salvation for the broken bodies, the broken minds, the broken spirits of the people around him. He said, sent the disciples out. He says, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. So, are you trying? Let me just bring this to a close. I'm realizing time is going past. So don't feel like it's a good payment to God. God, I sat and listened to Roddy for 45 minutes tonight. You know, so Lord, you really owe me something. That's the spirit of the world, okay? It's free. Are you spoiling your relationship with God by not accepting that the things he gives you are given freely? Are you trying to pay in some subtle way or another? Are you doubting his word? That word, that specific word that says freely. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:12, we have not received the spirit of the world that says pay, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Are you questioning his freeness? Are you questioning his character? Is he really generous? Is he really loving? Are you glad of his lifts? Because you can't do without them, but do you still feel this gnawing sense that you need to repay? Or maybe you're not accepting his lifts at all. Not accepting his blessings, not accepting his help, not going to ask for his help because you're proud. You always want to pay. You don't want to come to God feeling like a beggar. But listen, God doesn't humiliate people. That's not his way. You have to humble yourself. And I have to humble myself. And receive things without paying from him. So, next time if you are in a situation where your friend, your good friend, your dear friend has done a favor for you, they've given you a lift, say, you know, just turn to them and say, you know, thank you for the lift. Thank you for being such a true and a generous friend. I know I must never try to pay you, but I will use what you have given to me to try to be like you and to freely give to others as well, like you have given to me. Turn to God in the same way. Heavenly Father. Well, let's do that now. I don't need to say it. I'm going to pray it. Let's close it. Well, you don't need to close your eyes to pray, but however you pray, Heavenly Father, we turn to you now. And we want to thank you, Lord, that your gifts are free. They're all free, every one of them. We want to recognize that the Holy Spirit is teaching us tonight that we can never, ever pay you for anything you ever give to us. Because you don't need us to pay. Because it is the very essence of your character to be generous. Because your resources are without limit. Because you've demonstrated your love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Please, Lord, from now on, help us always and only to recognize that you're generous, that we must never try to pay, and that we must always be humble before you to receive and not be proud to refuse. Help us, Lord, to receive the free gift of salvation in Jesus and all things that come with it. And help us, having received, Lord, freely from you, to offer the same freely to others. Help us, having received of your generosity, to be generous. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.